Matthew 24. The message last week was the love of the many. Today, the message is the love of the few. I'm going to read to you from Matthew, Luke, and Revelation, just briefly, to introduce this subject. Matthew 24, verse 12. And because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of the many shall wax cold. Now, Luke chapter 7. Our Savior is eating with Simon the Pharisee and a woman who in the city was a sinner comes, and it says in verse 37, behold, a woman who was in the city a sinner, and when she knew that he was sitting at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster cruse of ointment, and standing behind at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Look at verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, verse 19, I know thy works and thy love. The word charity is the identical word that I told you about last week. Thou hast left thy first love. This is the same word. I know thy works and thy love. Verse 20, but I have this against thee, that thou tolerateth the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. In chapter 3, verse 1, that the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and thou art dead. Verse 4, but thou hast a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, it would be impossible for us to get through life not only without thy Son and without thy Spirit, but without thy Word, even before you had preserved it in writing, you would speak to men your Word. And so we thank you now that we hold in our hands the full revelation of God in a written form. We thank you for the things it teaches us. Indeed, it is like a mirror into which we look. And then, Father, that mirror also tells us how we can become the things that we are not, that we observe as we look into that mirror. So today, from the portions that we have read, we beseech thee, our God, that it may work effectually upon our souls. You know our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And who is sufficient to preach the word of God effectively? But if your Spirit empowers, this can be done. And who can reach the secret hearts of man? Your Spirit is able. So, Father, by that Spirit, do all of these things that are necessary to glorify thy name and the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, we pray, in his dear name. Amen. There are two ways of looking at a scripture in 1 Corinthians 1. It says this, "You behold your calling, brethren, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Now, that can be depressing. As you look out over the Christians here in different places, you discover that there are not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. Will you remember that? So we who are true Christians, those that excel are in the minority. Do not expect everyone to excel. Not many, it says. So that could be discouraging. But at the same time, it could be encouraging for this reason. Because it does not say not any, but not many. So it means there are a few that are wise, that are mighty, that are noble. So you take courage that way. Not many, but a few. Now that's the same thing I want to draw from the portion in Matthew chapter 24. Our Savior said, "And because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of the many shall wax cold." He does not say the love of all shall wax cold, but the love of the many. That means that there remains the love of the few. So we can be depressed as we consider the love of the many waxing cold, but we can take courage if we realize that there remains the love of the few. And I read you about the love of the few in some of the scriptures, and it does exist. And there does exist in the church some wise, some mighty, some noble, and there does still exist in the church some that are not characterized by coldness of love, but fervency of love. There is a warmth about them. So if I asked you last week whether your love would be described as being cold, I can ask you this week, would your love be described as being fervent? Is your love that of the many or that of the few? And you will be able to answer that question after we consider some of the portions that we've read. Understand this, and this is the encouragement I want to give to you, that there is such a thing as the love of the few, which means their love is not cold, but there is warmth in that love. There is fervency in that love. There is visible action in that love. They do exist. Paul knows about them. I'll tell you some that he mentions, and I'll tell you one from the Old Testament, but I won't use them as an example. He speaks of Aquila and Priscilla, and he speaks of Epaphroditus. Speaking of Aquila and Priscilla, he sends greetings to them in the Epistle to the Romans, and he talks about them. He says, "Who for my soul they laid down their own necks." Now, whom do you know in the church that you are willing to die for? You say, few, if any. Well, here were Aquila and Priscilla. They were willing to lay down their necks for the benefit of the Apostle Paul. And not the only one, but it speaks about Epaphroditus, and he was a servant for the church at Philippi, and they wanted to impart to the Apostle Paul a gift. And it says that he was sick, he was nigh unto death. He came nigh unto death, hazarding his life to supply that which was lacking on your part to me. Now, how many of you would risk your lives to see that God's servants receive fellowship that they might need? You say, "I don't know if I would." I could ask other questions that are embarrassing about it. Not only would you see to it at the risk of your life that God's servants were fellowshipped with, but just think on that. There are some that God's servants be taken care of that are sick. They hazarded their lives. They're nigh unto death that God's servants might be cared for. And also this. I was thinking in the Old Testament how there had been a decline in Israel, and yet under Hezekiah there was a little revival. And there had not been a Passover in ever so long a time. And he sent out invitations over the whole nation of Israel. And it says that when he sent to these distant places, and the messenger said, come to Jerusalem, remember the Lord at the Passover in his appointed way, it said, they laughed the messengers to scorn. They mocked them. It says, however, a few of the tribe of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun, they humbled themselves and they came. Now that's the encouragement. The discouraging thing is that an invitation goes to the whole nation of Israel. And the ones who give that invitation are laughed at. They are mocked. But it says, a few responded. And that is what happens in the church today. You speak of sacred things, the demands of God upon the souls of men, the Son, and they laugh at you, and they mock, and they say, those are things of the past. God could not expect that of us today. And they laugh at you, and they mock you. Or they politely decline to come and join in the feast of the Lord as set forth in His Word. But remember that in this midst of decline, there were those, when Paul said, nobody had fellowship with me. The church at Philippi did, and Epaphroditus was determined that he receive that fellowship. And when others would put Paul to death, Aquila and Priscilla were willing to lay down their necks that Paul might remain alive. They saw how valuable he was. But so often, we see how valuable we are. You are not of importance to me. I'm going to let you take care of yourself. If you get into trouble, I'm not going to do anything for you. How unlike Abraham, when his nephew Lot was taken captive, he raised an army and went out and rescued Lot. And here is the Apostle Paul. And we say, well, if he wants to risk his life or preaching the gospel, let him do it. That's his responsibility. But Aquila and Priscilla were willing to risk their necks because here is a man that can spread the gospel, who can teach in a way that no other man can. I'm willing to lay down my life for that man. And here are some whose hearts are touched when they know they're in a state of decline. And an invitation goes out. Thank God for those men who will send out an appeal to return and to obey the things in God's Word. And you'll be laughed at and you'll be mocked at, but it says, a few responded. And so I thank God for that. Not many wise, but a few. And not many have fervent love, but a few have fervent love. And that is the encouragement. There are few around. But let me ask you, are you as I, being among the many and trying to find those few? Or are you among the few who are ready to impart your love and the visible manifestations of that love toward the people of God? So, have conditions brought about a coldness to the love that was in your heart one time that was fervent, and has it grown cold? And because of that, I see by your absence or the infrequency of your visits or your attitude and your conversation, I see that your love is cold. And this is what is so sad. And I can give you examples from this assembly right here. I'm not going to embarrass myself by telling you of those where I go. But those who at one time were prominent in this meeting, and they're not here at all now, and at other times were a benefit to you, but now you have to go and do as much as you can for them to draw them back. What has happened? Why, their love has grown cold, and I do trust that that was genuine love. That's the thing. It speaks about some that are among us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they are not of us. And so some apparently have love, but it was never a God-inspired love. And so they were never children of God. But some genuinely had love, and that love grew cold. And what happens is that as you go about your business, you bump into them now and then, and you talk to them, and that joy is gone, the appearance of their faith, their lives, their hope, all shattered. Why? Because the love that they once had has grown cold. Conditions have conquered, have prevailed, and it says, because iniquity shall abound. You understand? Because of conditions. It says, the love of the many shall wax cold. So you know them, and I know them. And looking upon them, it frightens me, and I do not want to become that cold. To get a little cold is one thing, but to become the degree of coldness in some, that hope is gone, and all they'll say is, yes, I know Christ is Savior, someday He's coming back, and He'll take me there. Well, what about the vibrancy? What about that abundant life that Christ gave? He wants you to enjoy life. Well, I don't enjoy that anymore. What's happened? What they once had, if they ever had it, has grown cold, and so they simply go through life waiting until that time that they hope when Christ comes, they belong to Him, and He'll take them to heaven. That's so sad. So, that is the love of the many. It says, the love of the many shall grow cold, then the love of the few. And I gave you portions that describe the love of the few. And what is so delightful about them is this, that they're all the same in this respect, that their love is the love of the few. It is still warm. It is fervent in its activity. That is true concerning them, but in different areas. That is what is such an encouragement. Now I'm going to tell you about them. I'm going to tell you about this woman in Luke 7 and add to that the leper in Luke 17. They had love. The Lord Jesus spoke their love. He said, this woman loves much. So if the Lord gives her that commendation, describes her love as much love, then you say, yes, then there is such a thing as much love. And it was also Simon the Pharisee, and he had love, but his love was little love. The Lord Jesus said he had little love. The one who's been forgiven little, he loves little. The one that's been forgiven much, loves much. So Simon had been forgiven, but having that spirit of self-righteousness, he said, I haven't had sins forgiven as many as this woman had, and because of that, his attitude and his acceptance in the eyes of the Savior were entirely different. Much love and little love. Fervent love, coldness of love. All right. Another was in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul says, we are bound to give thanks concerning you all, brethren, because it's so fitting, for that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of all of you, each one of you, the one toward the other, abounded. Now listen to that. The love of all of you, each one, the one toward the other, abounded. You say, well, here is not an individual that loves, but here is a church, and the love of every one of them, one toward another, abounded. What a remarkable church. We spoke about Philippi, but I'm thinking about the church at Thessalonica. And so Paul speaks about their love abounding. Now, let me tell you of another kind of love. I read to you in the book of Revelation, but I want to bring to your attention another verse of Scripture that will tie these things together. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 8:16. It says, "But thanks be unto God, who putteth the same earnest care for you, you Christians at the church at Corinth. Thank God for Titus and the love that God put in his heart." The same earnest care that God put into the heart of Titus for you. So here is a man named Titus, and there is love and earnest care in his heart for the church at Corinth. Now, let's consider these three things together and see the difference. Concerning the woman who in the city was a sinner in Luke 7, she came and she was at the feet of Jesus and she loved Jesus. And the leper who was healed, he turned back and he fell at the feet of Jesus and he thanked Jesus. You say, well, here is love that manifests itself personally to our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. In 2 Thessalonians, it did not speak of their love toward Christ, though that's understood. It says, your love one toward another abounded. You say, well, there, it was their love individually for their brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, love, but this time the emphasis is toward the people of God individually. Understand that. The love of each one of you toward the other abounded. The other one was a kind of love that was in the heart of Titus. And it said, but thanks be unto God who putteth the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you, the church at Corinth. You say, well, here is love, but it's love not for Christ. It's not love for individuals, but it is love for a church. And there it is. Here is fervent love. Here is the love of the few, and some of it manifests itself personally toward Christ. Some of it manifests itself towards their brothers and their sisters in Christ. And some of it manifests itself toward the churches of the Lord Jesus. You say, well, isn't that remarkable? The kind of love that I am to have may be specialized, but I want it to be the fervent love that includes the Lord Jesus, and you as individuals, and also the churches. But most of us, if we have any love, most of the time, it is in one direction. But what God is showing us is that there is love, and it is in various directions, and some excel that way. So, what we have in the case of the woman who in the city was a sinner, and the leper, the tenth leper, is love directed personally toward Christ. And that is what happened this morning at 9:30. Where were you? It says concerning that leper, after the Lord Jesus healed the leper, the Lord Jesus looked at him as he was at his feet, as he was glorifying God, as he was giving the Lord Jesus thanks. And he said, weren't there 10 cleansed? He said, where are the 9? Understand this. And I'm telling you that you may have been cleansed as much as I, because the Savior himself said, were there not 10 cleansed? There was no difference in the cleansing. He said, but one returned to give glory to God, to thank the Lord Jesus. And so all of you who have trusted in the precious blood of Christ, you are just as clean as I am. But that's not what God is looking for. It says God is seeking worshipers, and the Lord Jesus is seeking rememberers whose hearts are filled with thanks and gratitude for what he has done for them. And that's the same thing that that woman who in the city was a sinner did in Luke chapter 7. Our Savior is sitting in the house of Simon the Pharisee, and the woman knows, finds out that he's there, and she goes and purchases an alabaster box ointment and comes with the exclusive purpose of honoring and anointing the Lord Jesus Christ. When did that last enter your mind to come visibly and materially to honor the Lord Jesus Christ because he forgave you your sins? Let's look at them for a moment. Here they are. Here is this leper. Why is he thanking the Lord Jesus Christ? He had been a loathsome leper, and he looked at himself, and when he saw that he was cleansed, he was overcome with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to render cleanness to the body of a leper. And he was so overcome that he came back, and with a loud voice he glorified God, and he fell at the feet of Jesus, and he gave him thanks. Tell me, are you aware of the greatness of the power of Christ in cleansing your leprous soul? You think it was easy? How holy, how pure were you? If you knew how vile you were, and if you knew how thorough the cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ was, then with that leper, you would come back and you would fall at his feet and you would give him thanks. You would be here every Lord's Day. You would not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Did you forget what you were? Did you forget that pit from which he took you? Did you forget that loathsome sin that was throughout you that Jesus Christ cleansed? You say, I haven't forgotten it. Well then, why are you not giving him thanks and glorifying God with a loud voice? You see, there is such a thing as love. And that leper glorified God. And the woman gave thanks to Christ. Why? Because she in the city was a sinner and so notorious that Simon the leper did not want her in his house. And yet, this woman, whose sins had been so many, in gratitude that the love of the Lord Jesus was so great that he could forgive one who had so many sins, such a vile sinner, that she was determined to give in return, not to buy salvation, that is a free gift, but to impart to Christ an expression of gratitude for the free gift of forgiveness that had been her experience. And so she gets this alabaster box of ointment, and she brings it to anoint the feet of Jesus. But this is what is so meaningful today. Some who come to the Lord's Supper, when is the last time we've shed tears? When is the last time we've been overcome with the love of Christ and his great love wherewith he loved us in the forgiveness of our sins? And this woman who came to anoint the Savior, it says that she starts weeping. And then, spontaneously, with the wetness of those tears, she lets it fall upon the feet of Jesus. And then she takes her glory and she wipes the feet of Jesus. And then she kisses the feet of Jesus. And then she anoints the feet of Jesus. Now that is totality of being. If we are to love God with all our being, then here is a woman that loves our Savior with all her being. The alabaster box of ointment, that was costly, but what was more precious was that she worshipped the Lord Jesus with herself. The body that once belonged to someone else, she now gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus accepts it. And Simon says, if this man were the prophet, he would know what kind of woman she was. The Lord Jesus did know what kind of woman she was, that he had forgiven her, and that's the kind of woman and the kind of man that can be the best worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they know how great their sin was and they are indebted to the Lord Jesus forever, and they come back and some will give of their substance but they do not give of themselves, and some will give of themselves but they will not give of their substance, and some will give of their substance and themselves. And that's the kind of worshiper that God is seeking, to worship in spirit and in truth, and with your heart and soul and mind and strength. And if we had people like that, even a few, if I had one like that at a remembrance meeting, I think it would be contagious and that I would be praising God as I ought. And so some would say, well, what's the matter with this woman? Why, she loves the Lord Jesus. That's what's wrong with her. And the Lord Jesus is thrilled with that which seems to be aberrant behavior in the presence of Simon the Pharisee. So, there are some who love the Lord Jesus personally. Their love manifests itself in a material way and in a devotional way. And this is illustrated by the leper and by that woman who in the city was a sinner. And now this, to think that in this world, it should constantly bring into our lives friends who love us. But how many people at this meeting can you say you love? Your love abounds one toward another. You want to be with them, around them, fellowship with them. Why, most of us, it's enough to shake their hands Lord's Day morning and then let them go their way. And yet, here is this church at Thessalonica, and it was not anything in particular, but it says the love of each one of you toward the other abounded. Now that is a miracle, and that is possible. And here is the encouragement I want to give you, that it may be that among ourselves, there are those that you can love, that what you need is found in someone who is here in this building. If their love is cold, it's not going to satisfy you. But perhaps the warmth of your love can cause their love to grow warm. But there should be that love among the people of God. And this is the encouragement, and this is what I pray for so often. Lord, send into my life a David or a Jonathan. Do you remember the love of David and Jonathan? You say, yes, two of God's children. They love God, and yet they love one another. And it says the soul of Jonathan was knit together with the soul of David. And that's what can be experienced among the people of God. And it happened at Thessalonica. And also there is such a thing as those like unto Titus who can be concerned with the welfare of the churches of God. But some, when they go down, they will leave us, you see, and go to a prospering church. They don't want to be in the backstream. Even it's caused by adherence and faithfulness to the Word of God. I'll get away from that. I have to be in the mainstream of things, where things are happening. But here is a church at Corinth that was filled with sin and error, and yet God put it into the heart of Titus to have earnest care for them. And so if your love is the love of the few, then you can love the Lord Jesus, and you can love me, and you can love the churches that Christ gave his precious blood to save. The love of the many, the love of the few, which is the description of your love. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, first we would confess our sins, that the love of the many, and that includes most of us, it's cold and it's not what it should be. But we are thankful, our God, that there is the love of the few, and we have read about them this morning. We are thankful that such a thing is possible, that there can be wise and mighty and noble Christians, and there can be loving Christians. Love for you, Lord Jesus. Love for one another, and love for those churches that are grounded upon the Word of God. So would you cause these hearts that are so cold to become warm again? And when thy Son comes, our Father, let us be found abiding in him, and not ashamed, but loving you, and loving your people, and loving your churches. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.